Hey Planet Shakers, welcome to another powerful sermon that I know is going to bless and impact you greatly. This week we have Pastor Russell Evans speaking on the title, Crossing Over. Let's check it out.
This year God wants to revive you, wants to see a move of God through you. Who wants to see a move of God? Half of you, that's good. Who wants to see a move of God? Listen, if they can go to the football and cheer, and get all excited and reach over each other to get food at the football, you can get excited in the house of God, because God is more exciting than a football game. Because no football game saved me, no football game gave me eternal life, no football game is my future. Jesus is the way, Jesus is the life, Jesus is the truth. So, I love reading different aspects of Scripture, and I love reading the Gospels and different people who wrote Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and how they viewed the situations that they saw Jesus go through, and their take on it. And it's so amazing how they all weave together. And so in Matthew 8, verse 23, it says, "Then Jesus got into the boat." Everyone say, "Get into the boat." You know what a boat is? A boat is a vehicle to take you to your destiny. A boat is a vehicle to take you to your destiny. I've always said revival, the vehicle for revival for every city is the local church. When God created His plan to outpour His Spirit upon a city, upon a nation, guess what He did? He launched the church in Acts chapter 2. He launched the vehicle to bring His kingdom. The Bible calls the church the bride of Christ. That doesn't mean we're perfect. It just means God looks at us as beautiful. You know, so many times we're looking for the perfection, the perfect church. There is no perfect church, but there's a God beauty church where He loves taking our brokenness and making it our breakthrough. He loves taking the thing that we messed up in and making it our message, the thing we missed and make it our mission. See, God loves His church. He loves His bride. I hear sometimes people say, "I love God, but I don't love the church." It is impossible to love God and not love what He loves. And so a boat is a vehicle to take you to your destiny. The church is a vehicle that God uses, as imperfect as it is, to bring the message of Jesus to a city. You see, people view God through how they view God's church. That's why churches that have been boring and irrelevant, people think God's boring and irrelevant. But when people see churches that are alive and full of faith and loving people and creating an environment of grace and freedom and joy and peace, which is exactly what heaven's like, that's how they view God. If we're just stuffy and boring, you know, some people say, "Well, Christianity's boring." No, just some Christians are. But the Bible says that He gives me joy unspeakable and full of glory. In other words, I can have joy without any substance. I can have joy without any alcohol drink. I can have joy without any relationship, because I have Jesus living in me. You see, people all over the world try to get high. They get high on this and high on that and high on that. But my Bible says that God is the most high. You can't get any higher than Him. And He loves fun. He loves joy. He loves celebration. That's why church should be the most passionate place on the earth, because God is passionate. It should be the most loving place on earth, because God is love. It should be the most powerful place on earth, because God is powerful. And my Bible says the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you and me. And so we got to be the vehicle that God created us to be. So they got into a boat. A boat takes you to your destiny. And they started across the lake with His disciples. Notice that Jesus got in the boat with His disciples. He did it with people. You're never created to be alone. You're never created to be isolated. God created you. You cannot produce children without coming together. That's why I say to people who have said, well, I'm going to have a year off and have church online. It is actually not really church as the Bible describes church. It's a church service, but church is the gathering of God's people. Church is where iron sharpens iron. If I'm overseas in a hotel and Sam's in Melbourne here and we're watching FaceTime and all that and we go, let's have children. Impossible. Doesn't work. Creating children, you have to become intimate and vulnerable. And if we're going to create godly children and disciples, it's by coming together and saying, hey, what can we produce together that brings life and freedom and power? And yeah, here's the deal. When you produce children in the natural, there's some painful periods. But the upside is so much better. You see my son up here before, and he was pretty good most of the time. It was more his sister, Amy, she was the more painful one. That's not true. She was the most verbal painful one. Jonathan maybe not tell me what he's doing. Amy would tell me exactly what she's doing. She's like, she had that little girlfriend experience. And she now's got Noah. Now he has to deal with all her makeup in the morning, running late with her makeup. Anyway. Oh, no, she told me it's your makeup, actually, Noah. But I watch her lead worship now and I watch what she... There were some challenging times growing up. There's some challenging situations. But when you see the fruit of what we produce together, it's worth every effort. It's worth everything that we go through. You know, discipleship is loving people like you love your own children. When you disciple people, you say, I'm going to love you like I love my own children, just because they're God's children. And so because they're God's children, I'm going to love them like God loves them. So Jesus got into the boat with his disciples and suddenly a fierce storm struck the lake. I've discovered in life, along life's journey, there are situations that's going along all good. 2019, it's going to be a great year. 2020, going along all good. Everything's good. We've got dreams and visions. I had my football membership that I could go to the football games. I had trips booked and we had conferences and rallies and tours and it's all good and everything's going good. We had O Week ready. It's all good. It's all good. And all of a sudden, a storm hits that we weren't ready for. Came out of nowhere. You see, in life, storms come and you might not even be ready for them. And what happens is waves break into your boat that you never invited in. We never invited COVID into our boat. Everyone goes through challenges. There's waves that crash into our boat. And what do you do when the waves of life crash into your boat? You're in the vehicle, you're going to your destiny, you're crossing over to the other side, and all of a sudden, you're facing something that you didn't even invite in. Well, let's look at the two reactions that happen in this boat. It says, but Jesus was sleeping. And the disciples went and woke him. It's the only time mentioned in the Bible that Jesus was woke. He wasn't woke, but that's the only time he was mentioned. And they shouted, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. And Jesus is asleep, right? So think about this is sort of the attitude that Jesus has in a storm. It's all good. You know, Jesus was never surprised by COVID. He wasn't like, whoa, all myself, I didn't know that. He's never surprised by the challenges in your life. He doesn't cause them, but he's not surprised by them because he knows the beginning from the end. And here's the deal. As a Christian, this is just part of the first part of our journey. Our future is heaven. Our future, our eternity is heaven. This is just, my mum would say, we're training for reigning. We're learning to reign on earth. And when we pass from this life, that's why when my mother passed and was graduated to heaven, I was sad because I wouldn't see her, but I was joyful because I would see her again. Because we don't mourn like people who don't believe. There is a resurrection. There is heaven and there is hell. And see, you gotta be confident that God, you know, in times of shaking, whatever is shaken, really pass the test of time. You know, so many people come in believing, but when they're shaken, do they believe anymore? When they're persecuted, do they believe anymore? You know, we live in a society that's not going to, always say, "Oh, the church is amazing," because they believe in this or believe in... No, there is times where people will not understand what you believe, but what do you believe? Do you know the Bible? Do you know the Word of God? Have you got your roots down in the Word of God? Not because I tell you or someone else tells you, but you discover it for yourself. When storms come, the Bible says becoming a Christian doesn't mean you have storm-free Christianity. But what it does say, you have Jesus in the storm. And the good thing about Jesus in the storm, nothing can take him out because he's Jesus. Nothing can sink him because he's Jesus. Nothing. So he's sleeping. He's saying, I'm cool. I've got this. But the other people, they're freaking out. What's going to happen? What's going to happen with this? What's going to happen with that? And that doesn't mean you don't have feelings that come over you. But here's the truth. You've got to take every thought captive. You've got to get those feelings and go, no, I'm going to get in the presence of God and let my spirit man rule my feeling person. So Jesus is there. He wakes up. They wake him up and he says this. One statement, he says, "Why are you afraid? Why are you afraid? You have so little faith." We're living in times right now, and this sermon I'm speaking on is called Crossing Over. But I want to encourage you to be people who live your life crossing over to the promises of God with faith. Don't be people who are caught up with what you see in the natural. Be caught up with who you see in the eternal. You think about Joshua and he's there and Moses has this great encounter with God to get the children of Israel to be set free from Egypt. They're in slavery. They're in bondage. You think about it. That it is a horrible situation because they're Jews. And God speaks to Moses to become a deliverer. And he delivers them, he takes them, they cross over the Red Sea and they go into the wilderness on their way to the promised land. As they're getting closer to the promised land, Moses sends out 12 spies. 10 of them, we don't know their names, but the other two we do, Caleb and Joshua. And the 12 go into this land. It's called Canaan. It's the promised land. It's the plan that God has set. It's the land that God has said is for them, a land flowing with milk and honey. And so they go in and the first city they're to take is a city called Jericho. And the walls are huge. They have chariot races at the top of the walls. They're fortified and the people inside, they are strong and big. And as the 12 go in, they look and they go, wow, they're big walls. Yeah, wow. The 12 go in and they all have an agreement. The land has got so much resources and so much favor to it. They also agree that the people in the land are big. But there's something they don't agree with. 10 of them say one thing, 2 say another. They go back to Moses and Moses is, "So tell me guys, what was the land like?" "Oh yes, it was a land flowing with milk and honey. It's amazing. Wow, imagine the day that we're there." "Yeah, that's true." "Oh yeah, but there are big people in there." "Yeah, that's true. They are up and the walls are pretty big." And then the 10 all of a sudden are not living in faith. They're living in fear because they're watching the waves crash into their boat. And they said, "But we are like grasshoppers in our own eyes." 10 of them. 2 of them say, "They're big. The walls are big, but our God is bigger. Our God is stronger. Our God is more powerful. So come on, let's take the promised land. The 10, no. You see, it's like Jesus, Joshua and Caleb are like Jesus' attitude in the boat when the storm is. It's all good. We can do this. The 10 are like the other disciples. Jesus, we're freaking out. They were going to their destiny. A boat takes you to your destiny. Children of Israel marching in the wilderness takes you to your destiny. So they have a council meeting and the vote is 11-2. You say, how's it 11-2? There was 10-2. Yeah, but Moses agreed with the 10, so it's 11-2. So through the decision of 11 people, two of the people who believed end up in the wilderness for 40 years. You think about that. You're in the wilderness of life. There are miracles in the wilderness, but you're in the wilderness. You're not in where you're supposed to be. Your destination isn't the wilderness. Your destination is the promised land. And you're there. And it's because of other people. If it was me, I know you're all more spiritual than me. I know that you're all more godly than me. You would have forgiven them in the first moment. I would not have. I'd be walking around and I'd have an attitude with a 10. Like, I'm not doing it. That person got me here. I would have blamed everyone else. I know you wouldn't because you don't have the disease called blamatitis. It started at the creation of the world when Adam blamed Eve. It was her fault. And she's like, no, it wasn't my fault. It was the serpent's fault. See, there's a disease that we have that we blame everything else for why everything is. It's because of that and because of that and because of that and because of that and because of that. And sure, there might be some things. There's 10 people who put Moses and Joshua and Caleb in the wilderness. They're in the wilderness through the decision of other people. But friends, let me encourage you. When you're in a wilderness and you're walking around through the decisions, not of yourself, not of your making, don't let the wilderness get in you. Let the promise get in you. And for 40 years, not for 40 minutes, not for 40 weeks, for 40 years he marched around, but he didn't let the wilderness get in him. He kept living in the promise. And there came a day that they cross over the Jordan and they're sanding and marching around Jericho, the walls of Jericho. And Joshua says, hey, you're all, we're not going to talk for 6 days. And on the seventh day, don't talk until the seventh time around, and then we shout. Have you ever been walking around something that's big and scary and intimidating? You want to talk. But sometimes because he understood the 10 talked and it took them to the wilderness. So he was saying, basically, come on, let's make sure that we don't speak the things that activate death instead of activating life. And so they're marching around. Can you imagine? Wow, that's a very tall wall. And the most vulnerable place to take a city is at the bottom of a wall. And they can say things and do things and shoot things. And we are vulnerable here. But as they marched around, there was something inside of them that they knew that inside was their destiny. They knew that inside there was something that God had got ready for them because they had crossed over the Jordan. They had crossed over. And as they're marching around, on the seventh time, on the seventh day, they shouted and the walls came down, but they didn't go backwards like that. They came forward and they took the promised land. I'm here to encourage you. Be people of faith in this season. Be people who don't look at the walls and be intimidated. Be people who don't look at the giants in your life and be intimidated. Be people who don't look at the storms and be intimidated, but be like Jesus. What did Jesus do? The Bible says, then he got up and he rebuked the wind and the waves, and suddenly there was calm. My Bible says that we have the power to bind and to loose those things that are trying to get into the boat of our life, the boat of our destiny. It's time to bind them and say, you're not welcome here, and loose the favor and the blessing of God, the inheritance of heaven. I'm here to encourage you, church, today. You don't have to be afraid. You can have great faith. And the Bible says, and suddenly there was great calm. And the disciples were amazed. They're like, yo, who is this man? Who is this man? Even the winds and waves obey him. Who is this man? And they got to the other side and they were met. You see, the journey to the other side is about who's at the other side. When we're in our journey of life and we're in the vehicle that God has called to bring revival and there could come storms or whatever, in it, we don't stop and go back. We keep going forward because out on the other side, there's a man in this story who's full of demons and he's bound by all these things and Jesus sets him free. And what happens is, to cut a long story short, he says to Jesus, I want to go follow you. But what happens is the people in the town freaked out because they didn't know what was happening because they couldn't control of that. They didn't know what was going on. So they said to Jesus, Jesus, could you leave? And Jesus says, okay. This is in Mark chapter 5. The same story is told. They say, Jesus, leave. But he says to the man full of demons who get set free, go tell everybody about me. Go tell them what I've done. And so two chapters later, Jesus is coming past the same place. The reaction is completely different. They're no longer pushing him out of the city. They're saying, hey, here's sick people. Here, look, there's this little boy here. He's been mute and he's been deaf for his whole life. Could you pray for him? Something shifted in that city. Why? Because Jesus didn't let the storm stop him. He went to the other side and a man got set free. And then a city came and encountered God. And by the way, Jesus then got on the boat and went back to the other side and brought freedom and victory in life. It's time to live a life that believes. And it's really so simple. How do I believe? I get in his presence. When you get saved, we're all born again with the same amount of faith. It's just how we develop that faith. And I've discovered faith is developed in his presence when he speaks to us and then we obey him. He says, go do this. And we're like, oh God, but look at the storm. It doesn't matter. Go and do it. And he brings a breakthrough. And then you hear him speak again and you get in the presence of God and you get in the word of God. You don't get in the opinion of man and you don't get in the intimidation of an environment, but you get in his presence and your faith begins to grow and your faith begins to get enlarged. I'm here to encourage you today. There are people, and you might have had storms in your life. You might have had water get in your boat that you never invited. But I want to encourage you, stand up and rebuke those situations. Our people, rebuke the situations that come against your family, come against your finance, come against your health. Come again. You take authority over it and believe God, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Believe that you can speak to a mountain and it will be removed. I believe 2021 is a year of revival, where God's going to revive, he's going to renew, he's going to restore, he's going to represent heaven on earth. He's going to see, you're going to see the moving of the Spirit of God like you've never seen before, but it won't come if you're fearful and intimidated. He says, come on, believe. Good thing about the disciples, they ran to Jesus. You might be in a storm. I want to encourage you, run to Jesus. Run to him. In this moment, run to him. Because a great awakening is about to happen in your life. Revival starts with you first, and then it affects someone else, and then it affects someone else, and it affects someone else, and it affects someone else. It's time to cross over. Even in the storm, you speak to it, and you get to the other side, and you release. You think about this. Jesus had opposition to get to the other side and he had opposition on the other side. But because he believed, all of it bowed to him. So you say, I want to have a year of revival. I want to encounter God. I want to be a believer. I've had winds and waves and situations get in my life and at times, and I'm the same. I haven't believed. And I love how the Bible says, Lord, help my unbelief. But I'm here to encourage you. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. I'm here to encourage you. You're the head and not the tail. You're above and not beneath. Everywhere your foot treads is your inheritance.
Wow, wasn't that amazing? And I'm sure it's exactly what you needed to hear right now for what you're going through. Hey, don't forget to follow us on all social media platforms at Planet Shakers. Keep in touch in this season that we're in. And also you can email us or check our website for other details as well.